Okay, we continue now. We're on the bottom of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, 31A, about seven lines from the bottom. We're continuing to discuss more stories regarding the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. We just got done telling a number of stories with Donma Ben Nesina. Three stories we talked about, and see how far it went to do Kibud Av V'Em, not to wake up your father, no matter how much money one can lose. Now, obviously, if your father tells you, I'm expecting a business call, wake me up, then certainly you wake him up. You know, obviously, we're speaking cases where Dhamma was the one who was losing, and it didn't feel as appropriate to wake up the father. If a father wants to be woken up, you certainly wake him up. But we see, look at the great reward that Dhamma got by being able to, being able to sell that Parah Aduma, for example. He made quite a lot of money. So Gemara follows up on that issue now. The Omer Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina, in analyzing this last story, says the following a fortiori. Uma mi she'ena mitzuva v'oisekach. Now, if we see for one who is not commanded in this, look at what the reward he got. In other words, a non-Jew, honoring your father and mother is one of the 606 mitzvos that Jews have beyond non-Jews. Jews, non-Jews only have the seven Noahide laws. They do not have a mitzvah to honor their parents. They don't. But Dhamma did. So he is what is called a Eina Mitzvah Vosa. He is not commanded, and he still did it. So we're going to see the interesting rule now. So somebody who was not commanded, and he did the mitzvah. And look what kind of reward he got, 600,000 gold coins, right? If that's the reward that he got, now let's take a look at Jews. Jews like us, who are commanded to honor our parents. So mitzvah v'oisa alachas kama v'kama. One who performs a mitzvah, how much more so is the reward? So now we're coming to an interesting segue. Let's ask the following question. Who deserves more reward for doing a mitzvah? What do you think? One who is commanded to do a mitzvah or one who is not commanded to do a mitzvah? Commanded. Okay, why?
He's doing it for Hashem.
Or
because it's your nature when you're told to do it to push back.
Okay. So, there is a lot of concepts, and let's see the next line. The Amar Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina said the following rule, which we hold like, Godol mitzvah v'isa, one who performs a mitzvah having been commanded to, is greater mimi she'ena mitzvah v'isa than someone who is not commanded to do it. It's a greater work for those commanded. What's the reason? So let's take a look at what the commentaries say. There's two answers that we have here. Number one, if you're obligated, you're much more worried and anxious lest you don't fulfill it than one who's not obligated. Because, you know, those are people who worry about doing mitzvahs. If you're not obligated, you're not worried. Look, I do it, yes, I don't do it, not. But the one who's commanded has a yoke on him, and he's worried, are you going to be, so for that concern and worry, you deserve an extra reward. Or, another answer is, God receives no benefit from our mitzvahs. Rather, he makes decrees, and by fulfilling his will, we receive a reward. Therefore, a mitzvah that is a fulfillment of a divine decree is worth more than one which is not. God says, I want you to do this. The other person says, I don't care if you do it or not. Now, Shelley mentioned another idea, okay, which is this less kickback. If you're not commanded, that was a nice psychological way of saying what's the reason is that if God commands you a mitzvah, then you automatically have a yetzahara that tells you not to do the mitzvah. That's just by definition. So now you got to struggle with that yetzahara that wants you not to do it. So for that struggle, you get rewarded. When a person is not commanded, he says, "My, what a good fellow I'm going to be. I don't ask me to do it. I'm Mamish Tzaddik." And there's not a lot of Yetzer Hara pushing you back. in that area. But as soon as you got to do it, then all of a sudden, then it becomes difficult. So therefore, the point being, Dama ben Nesina, the non-Jew, who is not obliged to honor his parents, did so. He gets a reward, but it's not as hard as people who have the mitzvah like us, and therefore we can imagine our reward would be so much greater. This is the way the Gemara says. Now, because of this, there's a related story. And there's a discussion about a blind person in halacha. What is the status of lo aleinu? Shouldn't happen to us. If a Jewish person is blind, is he fully obligated in mitzvahs that he can do or not? Is he chayiv or not? So let's take a look. And this obviously relates to this issue now. Let's say, if a blind person is obliged in mitzvahs, he's like everybody else. He'll get rewarded like everybody else. If a blind person is not obliged in mitzvahs, then if he does them, he does them as a person who's not commanded to do mitzvahs, and then his reward would be less.
Greater.
No, would be less if he's not obliged. We just said that if he's not obliged,
but he does them,
he gets less of a reward. That's what we just said. Greater is the reward for one who's commanded than the one who's not commanded. So if a blind person's not commanded, he doesn't really get the same reward. So it was a rabbi in the Gemara named Rabbi Yosef, who was blind. So now it was very relevant to him, because he wanted to know, was he getting bigger reward or less of a reward? Well, let's go through the story here. It went through stages. Omar Rabbi Yosef said, Meiresh, in the beginning, Havamina, when I originally thought, Manda Hava Amrali, whoever would tell me, that seems to be machlokas in the Gemara between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Whoever would tell me that halacha ka Rabbi Yehuda, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. What was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? The Amar Suma Pater Mina Mitzvahs. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is a blind person is exempt from mitzvahs. Okay? The rabbis argue with him, as that's implied over here, and they say a blind person is obligated. So this is Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Rabbi Yosef, who was blind, said, originally I said, if somebody could prove to me that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that a blind person is not obliged in mitzvahs, that would make me so happy. I'd be so happy that avidna yom matuv l'rabbanan, I would make a holiday for the rabbis. Why? Because originally he thought that you get a greater reward if you're not commanded. That's what he originally thought. So therefore, because you're going to tell me the laws like Rabbi Yehuda, lo mifkidna, because I've not been commanded to perform them, and guess what? V'avidna, and I've done all the mitzvahs. That was originally. In other words, the insight is Rabbi Chanina was telling us, it was Rabbi Chanina, that greater is the one who is commanded than the one who is not. That was an insight. So Rabbi Yosef, before he heard that insight, he thought that the one who is not commanded is greater. Now, being a blind Jew, and he did Kol HaTorah Kula, he would want to get the maximum reward possible. So he thought, logically, if you're not commanded, you get a better reward. So he knew it was a machlokes if a blind person was commanded. So he said, if anybody could prove to me that Rabbi Yosef is correct against the Chachamim, then I would make a holiday for the rabbis, because that would mean that all my mitzvahs are even greater because I wasn't commanded and I did them. Okay? That's what I would have done initially. But now, but now that I've heard of Rabbi Chanina's statement that says, that God on mitzvah said that the one who's commanded is greater. Mimi sheinu mitzvah and the one who's not commanded. So now, what's better for me? That the law should be like who? No. Adarabba. The opposite now. Mandar melita ain't a luck, Rabbi Yehuda. If someone can prove to me the law is not like Rabbi Yehuda, Avidna Yomatuvel Rabbanan, I'd make a holiday for the rabbis, because now, if I am obliged, then I get a greater reward. Alright? Now, the question is, who do we all like? And look at the little brackets here from the Ritva. In fact, the halacha certainly does follow the view of the sages. For we always rule the majority opinion is given primacy. Well, obviously we're going to hold it to chachamim against an individual, and therefore a blind person in halacha is obliged in mitzvahs. That is the halacha. So what did Rabbi Yosef mean when he said, Rabbi Yosef said, if someone would tell me that the halacha does not accord with the Rav Yehuda, right, why does he say that even though we really know that's the halacha? He said that merely for the sake of contrast with what he said earlier. Initially he said, if someone would tell me that the halacha is accord with Rabbi Yehuda. Well, obviously the halacha is like the chachamim, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda was, Rabbi Yosef was a happy fellow knowing that he was blind and obliged. And therefore, he gets a good reward, not greater than other people, but as good as everybody else, because that is the halacha. If he wasn't obliged, he would be getting less. At least now he's equal. No. No. That's Rabbi Yehuda, chachamim say it's chayv. We all have the chum.
No,
why should a blind person is chayv in what he's capable of doing? If he can't do something, we can't oblige him. There's certain things he's not able to do.
And there could be certain mitzvahs where a blind...
He can't read out of the Torah.
Yeah, for example, yeah.
But he's still obliged to learn Torah.
Right.
Learn the oral law.
Couldn't tell an aliyah because he can't read, or could he say
the
ruchan someone reads
worm? Oh, that right, it could be a technical problems now, because since he can't see it.
Because you're really supposed to be the one reading it. Right?
Okay, so that's a technicality, but he's still chayiv in mitzvahs. He's chayiv to keep kosher, he's chayiv to keep Shabbos.
Why don't we learn to do a kotter in all mitzvahs?
I don't believe so. And it's clearly from this Gemara, it indicates that way. But certain, like laning, okay, he can't, he's out of that one. Things that he cannot see, he cannot do. Okay, next story. Okay. Yes, another story of how much parents are supposed, children are supposed to honor their parents. It's another incident involving Dhamma. Kiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he told us the following. Once it happened that the same Dhamma, this non-Jew, was dressed in a gold embroidered silk cloak. That's probably a very nice fancy garment. And where was he? Yoshev ben Gedolei Rome. He was sitting amongst the great people of Rome, the nobles. So it was a very, probably a dinner party, a very important event, right? And look what happened. He had a mother, Dhamma's mother was mentally unstable. Ubasa imo, and the mother came to the party, vekarasa memena, and she ripped the jacket off of him in a very not honorable way. Vetafla rosh, and she hit him on his head. Veyarkalova fun, and she spat in his face. Now, how would you react if your mother did that? Well, guess how he reacted. Velo hichlima, he did not shame her. Okay? Now there's other texts, versions you see below. The Ein Yaakov reads a text. Her slipper fell off and he handed it to her so that she would not suffer distress. In other words, after all that she did, even after her slipper fell off, he helped her with a slipper. Be that as it may, and this we learn from this Gemara Lehalacha, that is a fact. That if your mother, God forbid, would do something like this, you're not allowed to shame her in response to it. That is the halacha. Now, does not mean to say that you cannot take her to a court of law and extract payment for damages she has given to you. You are allowed to. You can tell your, you can calmly say, Mom, I'm not happy with what you did. And, you know, you're going to have to pay me back for that jacket that you ripped off. And she's going to say, I'm not going to. I'm your mother. And you say, well, Mom, according to halacha, you've damaged me, and I'm entitled to take you to court, and you can't take her to court. There's no question about it. You're not disrespecting your mother by taking her to court, because she still has to keep the Torah. And no one, even if you're your mother, you have no right to destroy anything of your child. You know, it could even be he's maybe able to also take her to court for the shame that he got. She has to pay him financially for the shame. The only thing we're saying is that you'd think, you know, the guy would go shame her back, right? No, it's your mother, you're not allowed to shame her. But any financial issues are still financial issues, and she can't get away with that.
She has to find two other witnesses.
Yeah, well, it was no problem with witnesses. It was in front of the nobles of Rome.
Yeah, but they're not Jews.
Doesn't matter. It's secular courts. You know, I think the non-Jews don't have their own courts.
Well, wait, this guy's not Jewish.
Go to a non-Jewish court.
Yeah, right.
Go to a non-Jewish court and say, listen, I demand the payment for whatever. Okay, next part of the story. Now that you're going to be taking care of your parents, in which way shall you take care of your parents? Tani Avimi Breder Ravavo Ravimi. He taught, the son of Ravavo taught the following. It's possible, Yesh Machil Lavav Laviv Pisione. It's possible a child can feed his father a pisyon bird. What kind of pisyon bird? It's a very fatty bird. It was a delicacy. It's in the slav category, right? Or some say it's pheasant. A very fancy dish. Very fancy bird food dish that we eat. So you could feed your father a really deluxe meal. It's possible. But still, vetor dominolam. And this act will drive you out of this world. You can be punished for this. Why? We'll see in a minute. If you do it with resentment. You go, you get the most expensive dish, you know, and you go to your father, you go, here, Dad, you toss it in front of him. Oh, go have some grub, you leech. You know, so, you know, you can, in other words, you can give him a very fancy food. In other words, from the food perspective, you really did the mitzvah properly. You gave him a good food, but you gave it in a very not nice way, in a resentful way. And that means I could drive you from the world. The yesh matchina berechaim. On the other hand, you can make for your father, you can make him grind with a millstone, right? You can cause your father to do some hard work. Bring on to the top of the next page, now 31b. And that activity, umevio l'chaye ha'olam haba. And that activity can bring him to the world to come. Well, how could that activity bring him? Okay, one second. Okay. Now, why will this activity bring him into the world to come? Because, like this, look at the notes. If the son honors his father with encouraging, comforting words, gently convincing him that his effort is needed for their livelihood, the son will be rewarded. We say, Dad, we really need your help. I'm not able to do this on my own. Could you please help out? It will help the whole mishpacha if you can grind some stuff on the millstone for us. Talking respectfully to your father, even though the act he's doing is not an honorable job, but if you say it nicely, well, that can get you into Olam Haba. Okay, now, let's, Rashi quotes Yerushalmi, which says incidences that illustrate this idea. Here's the stories behind the statements. A son customarily fed his father pisyon birds. Once the father asked his son how he could afford to do so, right? The son asked him, old man, what do you care? Chew and eat. Right? That's all the father says. How can you afford it? He says, shut up and eat. Well, that's it. You just blew the whole thing on that. By so reacting, the son demonstrated that caring for his father was burdensome for him. That's the main point. Are you showing your parents that it's a burden to take care of them or not? Another man who worked at a mill had an elderly father. One day the king drafted the father for work. The son told his aging parent, Father, you work here on the millstone, and I shall go in your stead into the king's service, which is of indeterminate duration. In other words, the kid's saying, I'll take your place, Dad. I'll suffer being in the king's army, but I can't leave my family without any parnasa. So if you could take care of the grinding of the mill, which is an easier task that the king is doing, and you say it in a nice way, even though you're making your father work, that can get you into Olam Haba. So it's basically an issue of respect. How much respect you show will influence the level of your actions towards your parents, how you will be treated with that. Okay, the Gemara continues. It's another story of how we see how other people honored their parents. Kigon Avimi, remember he said, how far does the mitzvah of kibbutz Avim go? Kigon Avimi Brei Kaya Mitzvah's Kibbutz, someone like Avimi, right? My son Okay, Rav Avoh is saying, like Avimi, my son, who fulfilled him is honoring his father. Now, how does my son honor? You'll see how far you have to go, like my son does. Why? Because my son, Chamisha b'nei samchi havi l'avimi b'chai avav. Avimi had 5 sons with smicha during the life of his father, Rav Avoh. Again, Rav Avoh was the father, Avimi was the son. Avimi had 5 sons who were Torah scholars. Okay? Good. So there's 5 grandchildren who could certainly take care of their grandfather. Right? Vechi hava asi Rav Avoh kari ababa. And when Rav Avoh came calling at the door, the grandfather, right, he comes to the door. So you figure, look, the son could say, let the grandchildren take care of the father. Still, right, va'azil upasaglei. Okay, although Avimi had 5 sons who were scholars and knew about the mitzvah, still Avimi himself would run and open the door. Okay, in other words, he didn't rely on the other children. Let's see the notes. Okay, so he says, although Avimi's 5 scholar sons were certainly aware of the necessity to perform the mitzvah probably with the alacrity, they did not hurry to open the door for Rav Avoh. Had they done so, they would have honored their father Avimi and their grandfather Rav Avoh simultaneously. Thus it must be that Avimi forbade them from doing so in order to afford himself the opportunity to perform the mitzvah of honoring his father. In other words, they really, the kid should have done it. And that, but he said, no, I don't want to lose out on doing the mitzvah. Even though I have 5 children who could do the mitzvah, they certainly would do the mitzvah. He would run and not enable them, and he would do the mitzvah himself. But Omar, he would say, ain't, ad the mitoy hosam. When the father was calling, he'd say, yes, yes. In other words, I'll open the door until the father arrives. So he took care of all that. That's one example of how far he went. In other words, others who could do this. Well, anyway, yom achad, one day, same people, amar le ashkin maya. One day, Rav Avoh told Avimi, get me some water to drink. Father, let's say the father's in bed. Father says, give me a favor, I'm tired. Can you go and get me a glass of water? So Avimi goes, gets the glass of water, and comes back to his dad to give him the glass of water. But the icy lay, before he was able to come back and bring him the water, Nimnam, the father, fell asleep. And he got a glass of water. Oh, Dad, here's the glass. Oh, I see Dad's asleep. Now, what would we say? What would be the proper way? What would you do now? Leave by the bed. Yes, but when the father would wake up, he'd have to reach for the water. It'd be a little difficult. So what happened? Gochin koi ale adisavar. So Avimi bent over and waited for him to wake up. He just stood over him the entire time. He could wake up any second. And when he wakes up any second, I don't want to have to bother to even stretch to go for the water. I want the water to be ready as soon as he wakes up. We don't know how long. Could have been hours, whatever. But that's how far the mitzvah can go, that you don't want to inconvenience the parent at all. Istayeya milsei, while he was waiting, right? Vidoresh avimi. So now he gave a drush. In other words, God, you think he lost out on this? What a waste of time, eh? So while he's standing and waiting, these guys aren't just a bunch of schleppers who are daydreaming or looking at their iPads or their iPhones while they're waiting for their parents. They're meditating on Torah. And while he's meditating on Torah, Hashem gives him divine inspiration to give an amazing interpretation on one of the verses of Psalms that begins with Mizmor Le'asaf, Psalm 79. Hashem gave, that was the reward on the spot for honoring his father. Man, he's a big scholar, right? He could be learning in yeshiva instead of just standing by his father's bed. So God gave him the inspiration to understand the interpretation of how the deeper meaning of that of that section was. Okay. Alright. That's, we don't really need the rest. It's, we don't need to know the details, but the point being, he went, way beyond what one necessarily has to do. And Hashem rewarded him with that understanding. Okay. How about another issue? Rav Avoh asked Abaye the following question. Let's say a situation like me, right? Where before I come back from the yeshiva, what happened? Abba Madale Kisa V'ima Maskali. Look what happens. My father prepares a cup of water for me, And my mother mixes the wine for me. Remember, in those days, the wine was very strong. You couldn't drink wine straight. You had to mix it in a way. So look what happens. I come home from yeshiva, and my parents prepare me the wine mixture. So my question is, Heichi Yavid, how should I behave? Right? Listen, they loved him so much. The question is, he was wondering, by accepting these favors, am I violating Kibbutz Avim? How is this honoring my parents if they're doing things for me? We're not talking a little baby who needs to be thinking. He's an adult now. He's an adult. He comes home. He can mix his own wine. But his parents are mixing his wine, so he's afraid maybe I'm sinning by accepting and making them do all this work. Amar lei, so Abai answered him, Me'imcha kabil, you can accept the service from your mother, because by allowing your mother to do what she wants, that's honoring him. So you can do that. However, ume'avuch lo tekabel. But you can't accept favors from your father. Why? Tekiven debar Torah hu, since he is a Torah scholar, chol shadayte, he'll become distressed if you allow him to serve him. Wow. Let's see the notes. Rabbi Yaakov must be concerned that his father may perhaps regret having served his son, and may thus suffer from the affront to his dignity. In other words, you never know, a father may not really be so happy with doing it. Because at the end he may second guess himself, you know, I really shouldn't have done it. I'm a big scholar, it denigrates my honor, I shouldn't have done it. However, wait, look at the footnotes though. If the father strenuously insists upon performing the service, the son may then accept it. So it comes out like this. If you come home, next time you come home from shul, and your parents are both preparing you these things, and let's say your father's a scholar, so to your mother you say, oh, thank you so much, mom, because a mother always, you know, she wants to give you, she wants to give you meals, this and that. When you accept from your mother, it's an honor. But if you have a father who's a scholar, he might regret it. So if your father's a scholar, say, dad, please don't bother. But if there was, no, I insist, I want to. Oh, if your father insisting, even if he's a scholar, you can do this. If your father's not a scholar, though, then yes, I guess the father is happy to do it as well. Then you could take it. In this case, his father was a scholar. He's afraid maybe the father will regret having done that for his son. So therefore, he says you shouldn't do it unless he insists. But a mother always wants it. It's her greatest pleasure. Okay, let's just do a little drop more. Rabbi Tarfon, Havilei Ima. Rabbi Tarfon had an elderly mother who gave him lots of respect, whom he treated with a lot of respect. What did he do for his mother? Look how far he went. To call Amos to have a boy lemesik lepuri, whenever she wanted to climb into bed, and it was a bit of a, you know, jump from the ground to the beds were high up. So she couldn't, you know, go by herself. She couldn't pick her foot high enough to get into the bed. So what did he do? Gachin, he would bend down and become like a human step. Vesalik lo, and she would climb, step on his back, whatever, and then go right into the bed. V'chol emes tavi nachas, whenever she would leave the bed, same thing. Nachsas ilave, she would descend on him to reach the floor. Okay, so look at Tosus brings from the Yerushalmi another story with Rabbi Tarfon. One time the mother lost her leggings, I guess her socks or shoes, whatever, and left her bed to look for it, and the floor could be dirty and whatever. So Rabbi Tarfon put her hands under her feet to protect her feet from getting dirty. So mom, walk, I'll put my foot out, my hand out, I'm sorry, my hand. So she put her foot on his hand, and he put his hand over her, the next one there. That's how far he'd go, to show respect for her mother. Okay, and we'll see what the mother had to say about such a son. When Rabbi Tarfon came and talked about his performance of the mitzvah, and he didn't mean to boast, but he said, listen, this is the way I feel Kibbutz Avim should be. Look what I do. I put my back down, my mother uses me as a human stepladder. Look what the rabbi said. Amrale, they said to him, Adayilo, he got the lechatzi kibud. You haven't even reached half the level. I mean, it's good, but you think you've reached the extreme? You haven't reached the extreme. And let's show you what an extreme would be. Klum zarka anaki b'fanechel yevelech lamta? Has your mother ever thrown your wallet into the ocean in your presence and you didn't shame her? Now that would be an amazing level. Right? This is much more because there's a financial loss involved. You think you did something good. Okay, we're not saying it wasn't good, but don't think you've hit the limit. The limit would be your mother takes your wallet, throws it into the sea. Now again, you could take her to a court and claim, but don't get angry and don't yell at your mother. Okay, it's exactly 30.